Okie dokie. We are beginning chapter 6 in Hilchos Isurei Mizbeach, Halacha Yud Aleph. We discussed yesterday about wine. What's pasul wine? We move now to flour. Flour's got to be very nice, finely,
ground.
Ground
and
what's the other word? Sifted flour, all this stuff.
Times.
So we're going to get into this a little bit, Yud Aleph. Sola shehi slia ruba. If the flour, I think you have the place, right? The flour is mostly wormy.
No.
That's if the flour is wormy. Oh, he slia ruba chidim. Or if the wheat is wormy. Shenas mehem, that you make the flour from it. Psula, it's not good. Gemara has a shaila in the next case. He slia rov chitachos. What if the majority of one kernel of wheat is wormy? Hareis a suffix. Gemara is not sure if that's included in the psul. Is it the majority of the whole offering wheat collection or just on one? So they're not sure. It's a suffix, and therefore you really shouldn't use it. Lechachilia shouldn't. Gemara remains with a teku. So therefore, lechachilia shouldn't use it. And I guess after the fact, it would be possible you wouldn't get lashed. Okay, now, v'chol sola shenisher bo kemach, any fine flour that you see in it is still mixed up coarse flour, psula. It's possible. Okay, now all these psulim in this halacha are only b'di'evid. Not l'chachil, but they're b'di'evid. Okay, now the last one, though, can be fixed. Wormy ones, you can't fix it. It's so worm infested, you can't fix it. But how do you fix it if within the fine flour, there's coarse flour? First of all, how do you know if it's a problem and how can we fix it? Go on to Yud Beis. Kate said, Bogan, how do you check if the flour is very finely sifted and there's no coarse flour? I don't really understand this, but he says, Machnes ha-gizber yoda yotochasos. The treasurer puts his hand into the flour. Imala bo'avak, if dust gets into his hand, then it comes out psula. It's puzzle. It means the flour is still too coarse. But you could fix it. Till he re-sifts it, it gets better. I don't understand. I mean, any flour you put your hand in, you're full of this dust. I mean, it makes you all powdery all over. Not exactly sure what that means. Unless it's really like I think it's like this. We're so far removed from really coarse. Like we wouldn't even be able to eat if it was coarse. But if it's coarse, that means there's other kind of garbage in the flour. And therefore, we come up with probably not just a white consistency. It would be a dusty consistency, a darker consistency within it. And that's probably what he means. Avol, but. All right. Things that it's not optimal, but what about if you use them? Soles. Again, so I'm sorry. So back to Yud Beis. Let me go back. Yud Beis, they're all pusel, even b'di'evid. It's for sure not good. All those kids are for sure not good, except the one with the suffix, and even the suffix is pusel. So you check it and you try to fix it up. Now the next ones are all lichatchila not, but b'di'evid okay. What if you grew the flour, the wheat, in a beis hashlochem, which you already said is a field that requires watering, so it's not an optimal field, and the grain won't be as wholesome as in a different field. Oba beis hazvalm, in a place that has a lot of manure all over there. Oba beis ha'il, in a field that's got a lot of trees who take away the nurturing of the ground. Oba er shol nora, the land was not left fallow every other year so that the land would be strong enough, or if it wasn't tilled properly. All those, you don't bring them, but if you do bring them after the fact, share they're okay. Okay, now here's a really...
Well, isn't most of the Eretz Yisrael is arid? It's dry land. I mean,
most of Eretz Yisrael?
I think wasn't this dry 2,000 years ago?
First of all, it depends. Some areas are well, like the
some are, but generally
the
speaking,
Jordan Valley area is pretty good.
But still, there's no rain.
It's okay.
There was no rain then from May to November either.
But still, those areas, there are some better places that they get enough. No, rain is fine. The things
no,
like
there's no rain,
Well, that's an unusual case. But you're talking about regular pieces of land. Normal year, a normal year, it rains. Now, the lowland, the rain stays. The idea is the mountainous areas where the rain washes right off. The areas that had to get irrigated were more the mountainous areas. So you grew things in a mountainous area, the rain runs right down. They don't have a lot of rain. It's got to be irrigated. The valleys, generally, the rain is enough. That's what we're saying.
Enough rain.
So a normal, if it's a regular valley and it gets rainwater, in a normal years it rains, okay, that's fine. But a mountainous area where even the rain is not enough and you have to irrigate it, that means it's not, the land is not as arable as the valleys, and therefore it's not going to produce the nicest kind of grain and flour.
And they're saying they have to leave the land fallow every other year?
That is really the best way to grow crops. And you're going to see shortly in the next section here that really, you know, they didn't, Jews, even in the times of the temple, they didn't plant everything all 6 years, all the lands. That was not a smart way to do things. So they would, you know, do half the field and then the other half would lay fallow and then switch it the next year. But then on Shemitah, you'd have to let everything go fallow. If you overwork your field, even if you live in Israel, in the miraculous Israel, you're still not supposed to work it to death for 6 years straight. And they want optimal produce, you switch it off every year, so that when it does grow, it grows real wholesome. Okay, now here's a very yucky case. Yud Gimel. Chitim shalachto miklol b'hayma. If a cow's, if you pick grain out of cow's feces.
No.
In other words, the cow ate some grain, and it didn't digest it well. And now in the feces are kernels. Okay, now what do you do with it now? Uzram, you took the grain seeds out, and you planted them in the ground. So those new things that grow from that, Suffolk, the Gemara has a Shiloh that didn't answer. Im Avram meet you some Israel, has the disgustingness passed because you planted it?
Or
Adayim and Elisa, we still consider them disgusting. Since we don't know, Lefikach Leyavim Menachas, you should not bring Menachas from that. But if you did bring it after the fact, kosher, it's okay, like any Suffolk that we said before. Now you dial it till the end of the parak. And Tesvav deals with oils. These are the oils that are possible even b'di'evit, even after the fact, they're not good. Shemen shel gargarin shenashru b'mayim. An oil that comes from olives that have been soaked in water. In other words, it's an artificial way of ripening it and not the best way to get the best type of olives. Oshel zeisim kfushim, or if the olives have been pickled. O shlukim, or very much cooked. O shemen shoshmarim, the oil, the dregs from the oil. O shemen shereichara, or the oil smells bad. Kol elu psulim, they're not good even after the fact. Avo, but these are lechachila not, but after the fact, okay. Shemen zayish shenatu bebeis hazvol, if you grew olives and you got oil from that in a field that had manure in it. O bebeis hashlukim, or a field that needed to be irrigated. Or if other types of items were planted in between, so weakened the earth for the olives. Or oil that came from olives that had not totally ripened, but they're pagim. Pagim means they're not even one third developed, but you just plucked them and squeezed them as well. You should not bring them. They're not a very choice group. But hey, if you brought them, b'di'evit, kosher, it is okay. Tazayim. All the mincha, the meal offerings, and the libations, ksherim, they're okay, meha'aris, if they're from Eretz Yisrael, umechusars, even outside of Eretz Yisrael, the olives, the wheat, all that can come from outside of Eretz Yisrael, number one. Number two, they could be min ha'chadash. Here, ha'chadash means the new crop, but it doesn't, the crop that's new, that was harvested after the 16th, of Nisan, which was fine. Chodesh here means Chodesh relatively new, this year's crop, not the laws of Chodesh and Yashan. Umina Yashan, or old crops, you know, even was like from a year ago. Okay, it doesn't matter. Umovad, the main criteria is you should bring the choicest of them. The only exception, which you already said, Chutz mina Omer, except for the barley offering on the second day of Pesach, Ushtei Lechem, the two breads on Shavuos. It has to be chadash the new grain, because the Torah says specifically it has to be new grain, and also Eretz Yisrael has to be from Eretz Yisrael, because the Psukim suggest when it's talking about where you're living and where you're bringing it from, it would seem that it says Mimoshvel Sechem, from the place where you live, so it seems that it has to be in Eretz Yisrael. So those two are the exceptions. They got to be fresh this year, the Chodesh, right after the new crop, and it has to be from Eretz Yisrael. Okay, now that we've been touching on this idea, last, seventh, and final chapter.
Then what?
In Yisur Mizrech, when we go to Maisa Korbanos. Oh. That's a whopper. Maisa Korbanos is a whopper. It's a whopper. It's like 19 chapters.
Ooh-wee. We'll be there at least Pesach.
It's a thick chunk. Like this is the next one. Okay? Seventh chapter is relatively easy chapter. It's dealing with the topic of Mufchar. We said it has to be choicest.
Yeah, please.
So now we're going to discuss this idea of choices again in these areas. In all areas, as a matter of fact. Aleph. Lo kol dover shein apostle. Not everything that is double negative, that is not possible.
Right.
Maybe also you can initially bring it. You can't say, well, it's not possible, it doesn't have a mum, you know, so I could bring it. No, not everything initially should be brought, even if it doesn't have an invalidation. Keita, what do you mean? For example, Hoyachayev Ola, he has to bring an Ola offering. Okay? So now, Lo Yavi Sek Chachush, you shouldn't bring a sheep that's weak, Vachor, and ugly. If you say, you know, like it's the worst of my crops, okay, I'll give it to Hashem. Because the way you think, what does Hashem care? It's going to get burnt anyway. You know, like it's not like, you know, you have to give my nicest thing. No. V'yomer says, Haray ain't bomi. So listen, it doesn't have a blemish. What's wrong with that? No. Alzenar, it says in Malachi, V'orer no chel, etc. Curse is the one who does trickery when he gives gifts to Hashem, and they're really not the best. Elokol, sheyavi, lekarbon, yavi mina mufra. If you bring anything as an offering, any of these things we mentioned, animals, grains, the flour, all those things, has to be the choicest. And now we get examples of where we can find the choicest. For example, in Beis, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, this is where they would choose their items to be given to the Beis HaMikdash. Maybe in Elam, if they needed rams, where did you get the choicest rams from? They didn't grow in Israel.
Moab.
From the land of Moab. You buy it from Moabites, or you go whatever, you do some bartering, and you would get Moabite rams were the best. Umevin kvasim and sheep, shigabeim rucham, they have broad backs, like very zoftic sheep. Mechevron, they grew in Chevron. Who may be in Agolim and calves, Mina Sharon, from the Sharon Valley. The Gozolos, the birds, the doves, the turtle doves, Mehar HaMelech, place from Har HaMelech. I'm not sure where that is, somewhere in Israel, but I don't know where.
Was it the tent?
It doesn't say. It's not clear enough. It doesn't tell us. I've already checked it out. Umevin Yan, we're at wine from a place called Mikorchayin Vechalutin. Those are two names of places. Vesolas and flour, Mimichmash Viochana. Those are two other places. Umevin Shaman, you bring Shaman Mitakoa from Alpha Tekoa, which is in Shevet Don, I believe. Okay, it's just giving an example where the finest are in these areas. So we go to these areas and we would get them. Okay. Gimel, kol ha'etzim ha'chadoshim, all wood. Now we're going to see it's not all wood. It means most wood. Number one, chadoshim has to be brand new. I mean, you didn't use it for something else. We didn't, you know, like smash this wood off of this table and not give it. No, it has to be, you know, fresh wood. Sherim is kosher amaracha for the various pyres that we have. The fires that are on the, how many fires were in the base of Migdash? Three. Two on the big Mizbeach on the top, and one by the Mizbeach of the Ketores. Yes. So all that, so almost all woods, as long as they're brand new, are fine. But there's exceptions. But not from olive branches. Or from wine vines. Why? For a technical reason. Because we want to keep the land of Israel settled properly. And we need wine and we need oil. So we don't want to take that out. Uba'elo, how you regilim, but in the ones that we did have, the ones we normally did use are the choicest, they would take bimerubios, those were blocks, shel te'ena, from fig wood, shel chadoshim, new figwoods. Now not new. You should change the gersa from chadashim to charoshim, meaning from the wild forests. So you get forest fig wood, and we're speaking about fig wood that she'ain of a yushiv, that's not in settled areas, that don't produce figs. I guess it's a type of a fig wood that it doesn't make figs. It's a species, like under the species of fig wood. You know, there's different, you know, species in the phylum, it's in the fig phylum, but that particular species does not, because then it'll be another problem. Again, if yushiv eretzol, why should you be can make nice figs, and the figs are an important thing in Israel too. But you take it for it's not in inhabited areas. From the forest, that's where you get that. Vishel egos, okay. So what else do we use? Vishel egos, vishel eight shemen, from walnut wood and from wood from oil that's eight shemen, a different type, not olive, but an oil type of wood that's very flammable. Okay, I'm not sure if there's any more information. Oh, it makes a balsam oil. Balsam oil. So that's not olive oil. We don't need... So balsam oil is a very flammable type. The wood of a balsam oil tree is very flammable. Now, how do you make the logs? Okay, now you got the wood, but now you have to make the logs and cut it down to size. The hagirzin, the logs, she'osu Moshe. We're going back to Moshe. Moshe's the prototype. Whatever he did the size, we follow. Interesting, though, the Mizbeach at the Mishkan was much smaller than the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash. The Mizbeach was huge, enormous, but yet the rules stayed the same, interestingly. She'osu Moshe, the logs that Moshe made, which were Amma Orka, was an Amma long, Amma rach, an Amma wide. So let's figure about 18 square inches.
Approximately. 2 feet by 2 feet.
So yeah, you know, well, let's say an Amma is 18 inches, 2 feet by 2 feet. That's a
big tree.
It's a block.
It's a block. That's the blocks they would use.
So you're coming off from big trees.
It has to be pretty wide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can get the length. You can cut the size.
Yeah. So they did that. The Avyav and its thickness was how much? Kemachak Godish. If you're able to put the weight of a leveling rod on the overflow, shall saw of a saw. In other words, as much as you could put of a saw and put level on that, that would be the height of it. I'm not exactly clear how much the height was. I don't know if your commentary adds anything more. Mm-hmm. If you put a saw of grain on top of it and you press it down, that's how high it would be. No commentary, right? Ukamos. And now, even though that was a smaller mizbech, obviously, you didn't want the logs going over the side of the mizbech. But now when the Beis HaMikdash have a huge mizbech, you could have made much longer logs. Still no. Ukamosim, osim, thus for all generations we make the same. And they learn from various psukim, etc., etc. Okay, so now we've got the length of the wood and these various finest of wood. Okay, now the question becomes, how did they produce the flour and the oil and the wine? How did you make the best flour and wine? We've discussed the best wood. We discussed where you get the best korbanos and stuff. Mm-hmm. But now exactly how do we farm the fields that are required for all things that grow in the ground? Dalit. V'keitzad hayosim bizrias chita hamenachos. What would they do in order to plant the wheat that would be used for the flour for the menachos and make sure they were very high quality? Okay? And there were a whole bunch of menachos. There were three congregational menachos and nine private minchas. Yeah. So there's all kinds of menachos. And also, ha-nesachim, he means here by nesachim does not mean the libations, but he means the wheat of the minchas nesachim. Mm. The mincha that would go with the nesachim. That's what he means. Mm. So what would they do? Here's the best farming methods that Rambam knew. Nar chatzi hasada b'sharashino. Now, the commentary say, first you plowed it out the first year before you did anything. But after that beginning plowing, now comes the next point, which is, nar chatzi hasada b'sharashino. You leave fallow half the field in the first year, v'zereyachetcha, and you plant half. And then sharashino, the second year, the reverse. Nor achatzi shazari, you let fallow the one you planted, b'rishona, v'zereyachetcha, now you plant the other one. And it should all be planted when? Kodem lePesach, before Pesach, approximately 70 days before Pesach you planted. If you plant it by that, which they say was the fifth of Shvat, if you plant by Pesach, guess what? It'll be just fine right after Pesach, just after you do the barley thing, right? Or for Bikurim, after Shavuos, you have perfect wheat at that time. So it doesn't take a long time. So, I don't know, 70 days, whatever, but it's still that perfect time, and you'll have just the perfect type of wheat. Vimlo haiso hasada avuda. What if you didn't till that field properly when you got to make it up before you plant? Chayresh v'shayna. You got to plow it twice. Let's say you skipped a year. Well, too bad. Then at least we're not going to make it wait another year, but you have to plow it twice to make up and to make the land better. V'yachas, and then you plant it. Okay, good. So now you've planted it. So this is the ideal way to plant it. You're using the land in the best way. You can have robust amber waves of grain. Okay, now you're harvesting the grain, and now you've got the kernels, whatever. So now, how do you deal with the kernels now? Look at this. Uborer achidim. Now you select the finest wheat stalks you have. Yafa yafa. You know, one at a time, whatever. V'yachas, then, shaf es achidim. Then you rub the kernels, uboek b'hem, you stomp on them, harbe a lot, achis kafu, until the shells crack open. How that is exactly? Halacha he elaborates. Look at this, guys. Kol hachitim shel menachas, the wheat that will be used for the meal offerings to unas, they need shalosh meos shifa, 300 rubbings.
Whoa.
V'chamesh meos pita, and 500 stompings for each kernel. Okay?
But now, they didn't do with them individually.
Well, I guess not, but the group, I'm saying, but each kernel would have to be done. So what do you do? Look, now how do you get 300 and 500? Very simple. Shafachas, you rub it once. And then uboid shtayim, then stomp on it twice. Then shtof shtayim, rub it twice, so it's a total of three now. Uboid shalosh, and then stomp three times, so it's a total of five. Three rubbings and five stompings in this order. Now don't ask me, why didn't they rub it three times and then stomp it five times? I guess it's done better if you first rub and then stomp. Rub and stomp. Okay, so you did three rubbings for five stompings. Then what do you got to do? Nimsa comes out, shalosh shifos, three rubbings, v'chamesh bitos, and five stompings. Now, v'chozgal, you repeat it in that order, one, two, three, how much times? 100 times. That cycle. Achi yigmer, until you finish, shalosh me'er shifa, 300 rubbings, v'chamesh rosh bita, and 500 stompings. Kidei shi skalf arbe, so that the shells are cracked really well. Now, what's considered a rubbing? So v'choshev hava v'halacha, back and forth. One, v'shifa achas l'hachmir, to be strict. It's not just, this is one rub. No, this and
how
that.
How do you do that with a kernel?
I don't know. But I guess
they're not very big. With their hands. The kernels aren't big, though.
You go.
But how many kernels are you going to hold when they hang?
Whatever. It took a lot. It was
them and step on them?
I guess so.
How'd you pick them up again?
It says stomping. Maybe you put it in a plate. Come on, the ground.
You break the plate.
I don't know, but that's how they did it. Then, wait a minute. Toche, then you grind it.
Yeah.
Umarakit and sift it. Yuffa, yuffa, really well. And how much did you do it? It tells us that they would sift it 13 times. And other things were 21 times. 11 times. It tells you by certain ones. But the other menachas, he didn't tell us. But obviously, he did it quite a lot. It was a big, big job to make sure it was done. Now, obviously, it would have to be supervised. It would have some COR or something. Guy just can't say, here's some flour.
Right, like the wine and the
meal. Right, so there must have been either some fields that
I think
guy
it was
wants.
The Cotter, the Council of Temple Rabbis.
Whatever, but it would obviously have to be supervised that it was done this way. It's clearly, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how to compare it to nowadays modern technology.
Is this instructions for Itzik the farmer and the Galil who wants to bring? Or would they have their own fields for the Beit HaMikdash that they would supervise?
I don't know. It doesn't say where they're getting it from. I mean, obviously only from certain fields are the best fields. It doesn't go into that much detail. Did the Beit HaMikdash own fields? They probably didn't own fields. Private people had fields. The guy could say, listen, I guess they brought rabbis in and they supervised. It's just like shmur matzah. right? They have to supervise. A guy can't just bring a thing of a flour and say, here it is. Well, but then again,
certain guys.
But then again, you could do the flour test.
Yeah.
As we had before.
But that, yeah, I don't know if it's a Dunhill or not.
But anyway, there has to be some way of
but
figuring out.
But didn't they have they had a guy that made the Ketores. Like, there was a special family that had the recipe that made the Ketores. The special
that
guys
they
that
made in the Beis Hamikdash.
But there's special guys that also made, maybe they had select fields.
I don't
they
know.
Got it from
I don't
them,
know.
Sure.
I don't know.
But you have to be good at this.
This is the manner it had to be made. That's for sure.
So a regular guy would use, like, an animal to do all that, wouldn't he?
Maybe.
Well, we learned that.
I guess there's a lot to be done doing by hand. It's like what you do with your hands is more of your own human input, you know, like handmade matzahs.
You know, there's a place now where you're moving to, just south of there, Big Green or something.
Yes, archaeological digs over there.
They had the whole thing where there was a thing where they said that the animal would be hooked.
But I don't know if that would be for the Beis Hamikdash.
No, probably not.
Maybe not for the Beis Hamikdash. Okay, let's now get into wine. How's that? All right. Vav, hayayin. What about wine? What kind of grapes did you use? Mevi anavi min haraglios. You would bring grapes from the raglios. Raglios means, as we said before, the vines that are laying low on the ground as opposed to high up lattice work. The lower down to the ground, the better the grapes come out. Min akramim wooding from vineyards that have been tilled properly. How properly? Pamayim bishana, twice a year it has to be tilled. V'doirech, and you stomp on it. V'kontzin also, and you gather it up, v'chavias kananas, into small barrels. You don't want big barrels. Too much air is in there. You want to not have that much. V'ein manichin osom achasas, and don't leave the barrels one at a time. V'lo shtayim shem, and not two by two. Elo sholoshos, three by three. So there shouldn't be too much air around, and the air, I think, spoils the wine a little bit. More than that,
so you're saying three barrels right together.
Yeah. Okay. You wouldn't fill the barrel right to the top. Because you want some of the fragrance to escape.
Circulation.
A little bit of that. Now you got this barrel. So now where are you going to pick from the barrel? You're going to use the whole barrel for the wine? No. In a whole barrel, there's a better part of the wine in the barrel. And it's not the top, and it's not the bottom.
It's the middle.
Ve'enu mevi lomi piachavis. You don't take from the top of the barrel. Why? Mipnei akimcha. So a little bit of white residue comes on the top. Ha'ola pnei yayin. Lomi shal not at the bottom, mipnei shvarim, because of the dregs. Ela where? From where? Bishlishia, the middle third, but not even the middle third. Ube emtsa, the middle of the middle third. And I don't know why he doesn't say the middle. Okay, I'm not exactly sure. Maybe the third isn't exactly one third. Maybe it's 10%. You know, it's not necessarily 33.
So are you
the
pouring,
dregs are on the bottom 10%.
Are you pouring out the barrel?
Bottom,
are you
and the top's the top 10%. I'm not exactly sure.
So,
but the point is, the middle area, whatever the middle area is defined, that's middle. Now, the middle of that, it's basically going to be the middle.
Are you pouring
Wait a minute. Now, when you're over there, shalom sois, and then you put the spigot right there. At that spot, and you bring it down from that area. And then you only get a little, and once you see from the spigot a little bit of white stuff coming, stop, that's it. So that's how they would, because the way to get it, because as soon as you'd open it up and go in, you'd mix it all up. That wouldn't work.
White stuff coming out, it's already going into the vessel.
So you'd have to stop, you know, as soon as you see, stop, and that's it. Now, let's go a little bit further. One more. Zion. Hoya hagiz bar yosha. Okay, let's say the treasurer now, he's sitting there. Vayayin yotze mina nekev shibitzada chavis. Oh, here it is. I jumped the gun. So now the guy brings him the wine, whoever it is, from the supervised wine. And he says, okay, here's the barrel. Now let's start in front of the gizbar. They would now open up the spout. All right, shibitzada chavis. Came in shira shinash. Once he says a little change in there, Maslis, once it goes out, posek, he stops and doesn't take anymore. Umeyamase, and when do we start bringing it? When's the wine good? 40 days after it has been pressed. And how far is it still good? Aj, they shut him until 2 years. Oh, yosa, or maybe a little bit more than 2 years, as long as the taste doesn't go foul. Vimhevi, yayin, yosher, mekamashim, where he brings old wine from many years ago. Harezek kosher. Bidiyevit, it's okay, but it's also provided for hulo. Yipasatam of the taste should not be ruined. Okay.
When this guy buys it and takes his jug, he must put a seal or something on it to be a mikvah so they know it's.
There's a lot of things you have to.